Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for listening to the show that celebrates creating in stories. Let's get ready and tune our imaginations together. You know, we have done it. We have crossed to the other side of Thanksgiving. I hope that you and your family had a lovely time together. And yes, I was thrilled that we did not have to do a Zoom gathering this year. We got to enjoy time together around the table. And it was a smaller table than in past years. And I missed connecting with more of our relatives on the Zoom meeting that we used to do. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that every year brings new transitions and new experiences. And that's a great part of life. What would you have thought 5 years ago if somebody told you that we would be gathering our family around our video screens to celebrate holidays? That would have seemed impossible. That would have been improbable. And even we might have thought that that's ridiculous. Each year, the holiday table looks different. There might be a family member missing, a change to the menu, a new friend or a date that joins the table, a new location or setting for the dinner. There's no one certainty about any given holiday. And maybe it's the marketing or the love of traditions that leads us to believe that there can be only one way to holiday. And I think to enjoy the holidays, that's what we need to embrace. Every year will be different. And that's one of the great things about life. We adapt, we innovate, we accept change, and we're all capable of this process. Maybe in addition to sharing our gratitudes at the Thanksgiving table, we should celebrate the ways that we have moved forward each year. We have, and we do, we have been capable of facing, rethinking, and adjusting. These are the gratitudes, I think, that are least expressed, and maybe these are the gratitudes that are the most meaningful. So when I'm thinking about this, I thought about the line from the world of improvisation. Yes, and we embrace the challenge presented to us. We accept that this is what it is, and we contribute our own idea to the soup. So in improv, you need to agree with the people on stage. And when they present an idea, you say yes. And then you enhance it and you complicate it maybe, or you engage with it. So yes, I can entertain this idea and I'm going to be a part of the conversation. Yes, I made it through this big deal in my life and now I can do this amazing thing. Yes, I am feeling terribly sad about what happened and I can experience the warmth of the people gathered with me here today. Yes, and it's a powerful tool to add to your way of looking at the world. I wish you and your family and friends and neighbors and community the ability to embrace the changes happening in the world around all of us with yes and attitude. Let's go forward together with this empathy and sense of cooperation. This is how we increase empathy and compassion in our communities, and we all could benefit from these traditions. I am thrilled today to be able to present Craig Moxness, who is also known as Mrs. Moxie. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here today. A lot of people listening might know you, so it's going to be exciting, but there's going to be people who don't. So I want to tell you about a show that is upcoming at the Northfield Arts Guild, Mrs. Moxie's Home for the Holidays. You can get all the information, northfieldartsguild.org. It's next weekend already. December.
Come up way too fast.
I know. December 2nd is next weekend. That's absolutely hard to believe. And it is a Friday and Saturday at 7:30, so two shows.
Yes, we added a show. We did a June show, and it was a one night only, and it had such great reviews that we decided to do two.
So you have a chance, but we're doing this show so you can get your tickets ahead of time. And those are available in advance at the Northfield Arts Guild website.
Correct. Yes.
And they are $15, very reasonable. And folks should definitely check this out. We're going to learn a little bit more about Mrs. Moxie, because I think there's a story to tell there. But I thought, why don't you introduce for folks who maybe only known you as Mrs. Moxie, tell us a little bit about Craig.
Yes. I'm a local here in Northfield. I live here with my husband and my three fur babies. Let's see. February will be 2 years that we have been residents here in Northfield. So that's kind of my story. I'm a full-time hairdresser. That is what I do during the day. And then Mrs. Moxie is my side hustle slash job. And it's become something that has transcended who Craig is as a person too, and helped heal a lot of things. So I think Craig has become a much happier person and a more fulfilled person because of her. And I thank the community here in Northfield for having me and welcoming me so much that it's beyond words to describe how cherished and loved I feel, because it's, you don't get that a lot. And to just move here and not even be here for 2 years to have that just really
open
my heart. Yeah.
Well, that's really great. And I think one thing people don't really understand about drag is that it's connected to theater. And that's something that maybe people don't know. So let's start there.
Yeah. As far as drag goes, like, to rewind a little bit, how I got started was in Halloween. And I mean, everyone, whether you're a male, a female, a kid, adult, whatever, we all love
to dress. Or even a fur baby.
Yeah, or even my little fur babies who dress up too. You know, we all like to get in costume, whether that's to go to a Vikings game, a Twins game, or to celebrate Halloween. It's, drag is just putting on a costume and having fun and kind of forgetting about your troubles in the world. And when drag started, it actually started with the Shakespeare era. It was a historical thing. Women were not allowed to be in theater, and men had to play the female parts. Well, while they did that, their dresses would drag across the floor, which is hence the reason why it's called drag.
I never knew that. Really, I mean, I knew the origins of theater, but the word drag, I didn't know where that came from. And I'm just thinking about that idea, how strange that is. They're telling stories about, you know, the communities and the people and the relationships, but they don't let the women come be, even though they're essential to the story. So it's just interesting how that was the adaptation. But then I'm guessing a few of them enjoyed that.
Oh, I'm sure they did. You know, I also think theater in itself is such a live art form that changes daily. I mean, think about the plays on Broadway, how many lines they might have missed, or, you know, their costume didn't zip. You still got to go on with the show, and it's part of the art. You just got to keep rolling. And yeah, I love what it's done for my life, and I love that Northfield has really embraced that. To now actually be once a month at Imminent Brewery here in town, hosting game nights and having fun. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. What night should we tell people so they can join?
Let's see. Okay. The next one is December 18th. That is our holiday trivia night at 5 p.m. And then, let's see, we have a January and a February one. I do not remember the dates on them. All of a sudden, I could grab my phone and look that up for you.
Or they can check out Imminent.
Or check out Imminent and follow them on Facebook, because they also advertise and post when I'll be there and everything like that. But they have welcomed me with open arms, and the owners, Laura and Derek, are just the most amazing people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And sporting their merch right now, actually. But they met me and they said, do whatever you want. Just come in, have fun, and entertain. I was like, okay. So it's been a once a month thing with them, and it's been awesome. So to see the community really embracing diversity and having inclusion and everything like that, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing for a small town of Midwest.
Exactly. But there may be some people You know, we want to shine the light on what drag is, but we also want to be honest about what's happening, right? I mean, right. In the news, people may see that there are places where that's not the case.
Correct.
And so that makes me uncomfortable. It's, I wish it weren't so.
But me either.
We know that is a part of your experience too, right? That yep. that hasn't always been how you felt.
It hasn't.
And so tell me how you help the people who come to the shows to feel safe and how you keep yourself safe.
Well, when it comes to what's going on in the world right now, which Colorado Springs, my heart goes out to them and really breaks my heart for what happened. It's very unfortunate, and it should never have happened. And, you know, when I think about that, it could have been us, because we have had protesters at our shows. We've had, you know, people stand outside yelling horrible things. And I don't want to say I'm on radio because it's also 9 a.m. and I don't want to scare anybody. But, you know, these things have been said, and it's just very mentally draining and mentally just exhausting to think what these people think about you without ever meeting you as a person.
Or maybe not ever seeing a show.
Correct. I mean, they were making assumptions. We just had a gospel show at the first UCC here in town, and it was amazing. I have never, first of all, I left the church, so I wasn't part of religion for a long time. And to be asked to do that was mind-blowing. And it was a great turnout. The pastor, Cindy, there, she's the whole community there at that church is amazing. And they went above and beyond, and we worked together, and we made sure we had a lot of door people. Mm-hmm. We checked names at the door. We really do our due diligence to make sure safety is our number one priority, and make sure that those that are attending these events leave happy, safe, and are comfortable. We don't want it to be uncomfortable either. And, you know, that's the main point when it comes to any of my shows. I try to make sure there's protocols set up to make sure it isn't just a free-for-all or people can just willy-nilly come in. There are things set in place for that. And I think, you know, with drag, it is a fun experience, but there is also a due diligence we owe to those that are coming to really feel comfortable and safe in those spaces. And in Colorado, they were in a safe place as well, unfortunately. And I'm very proud of those people that stood up next to that guy and took him down.
And I think what was misunderstood is that in that place, there were families.
Yes.
There were big time. People that just wanted to support loved ones or friends.
Correct.
And so I think that it's, we need to talk, right? To shine some light on what exactly is drag and what is the, you know, how do people move to seeing it as the art form that it is?
Right.
And so let's talk about that. It is, you know, an art form that is misunderstood, and there's a lot of misconceptions.
Correct.
So
yes.
Tell me when you are thinking about, you know, drag and getting ready, what it is that, you know, the process of, you know, getting ready. It's like, would be like going on to do a character in a play.
Correct. Yes. For me, my manifestation or transformation, I guess you could say, into Mrs. Moxie is I have to look a certain way. I am very much like, I like to be pretty. I like to look very put together. But in that character development, after the pretty comes, then the comedic happens. And I try to make fun of myself in a way, because I call myself the country housewife in a way. It sounds cliche. I grew up on a farm. You know, I raised horses. We had rabbits. We showed things at the fair. And with drag, I think that's the biggest thing is we take what's in our personal life and make it part of who we are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the case for every drag persona out there, but that's how I am. And there's quite a few of them that I know that are that way as well.
So it's a amplification of what might already exist.
Correct.
And it's
that you might be afraid to share, actually.
And a way of making it exaggerated. Is that fair?
Correct. Yep. Like, I think the best way to describe it is, I might cry, sorry. my mom and my husband are my biggest supporters out there. I have a lot of support, obviously, in Northfield and friends, but my mom and my husband are my two biggest supporters out there. My mom is actually the reason why I'm named Mrs. Moxie. Moxie was her nickname in high school.
Oh, what a great nickname. I love that word.
Yes. So her nickname in high school was Moxie.
That says something about who she was and what I'm imagining a high school student having that nickname. That's pretty great.
Yes. Well, and it also was our last name. So, because it's Craig Moxness.
Ah, got it. I just put the two.
Yes. So, with that being said, I took her nickname because when I was growing up, I was kind of shy. I had braces. I had glasses. Typical kid. But whenever I was struggling or feeling down, she would just like, get up, go show them your Moxie. And when it came to being a drag performer, I was like, what name fits this? Like, I'm not in my bubble anymore. I'm out there. I'm proud. I want to exuberate confidence to make others feel confident. And it just kind of stuck.
That's a great name.
Thank you. And so when it came to actually the character development, it was thinking about my mom. She was so poised and she tried and she did. She had it together. Like, she did everything she could to make sure we were safe as kids and our family was good and everything. And she put her heart and soul into us. It was me, my mom, and my brother. Like, we were raised together and she made sure everything was right. And, you know, but then there was those little comedic reliefs where she would jump out and do a zany dance or, you know, have these zingy one-liners. And, you know, that's where a lot of my characterization came from, was from my mom. And I think we as children in society want to make our parents proud. And I hope I could do that for my mom, because part of being a drag artist and being in a small town is also showing the support and love that she did for me growing up. Mm. So that's what I want to bring to this community in Northfield.
And folks, you can get a chance to see, it's Mrs. Moxie's, let's get the name of the show.
Goodness. Mrs. Moxie's Home for the Holidays.
There we go. I flipped the page.
You're good.
And so this is happening Friday, December 2nd and Saturday, December 3rd at 7:30 at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. Doors open at 7. Tickets are $15. You can get the information at northfieldartsguild.org. And it is, I know people have gone to the other shows and just like fallen madly in love and had so much fun. And so let's give people a little preview of what's going to be happening at the holiday show.
So the holiday show started actually back in July with this like little idea after the huge success of the June show. And the June show was just me telling my story coming out and how my family reacted and then becoming a drag queen and trying to find my space and time and life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's like, because people resonated with that story so much, the holidays are hard. They're fun, but they're hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to take what I had during the holidays and make it into a story to share and show how being different, being married to a man, you know, what it's like being at the holidays.
And, you know, that's something that you just said, I think is really important for people to know, that you work at creating the, you know, a story for mm-hmm. it's not off the cuff. It's,
I mean, there is like improvisation, like you said, yes, but
there's a heart to the story.
Correct. There in everything that I do as a drag artist, whether that's performing a one number at a bar or writing and directing these shows, there is a heartfelt moment in the show and something for people to take away. 'Cause I think that's, I think that's also breaks down that barrier for people to realize what a drag artist is. It shows the person behind the makeup and the padding and the bra and everything else, you know. But it shows the human aspect of it. And that's why when I do these things, I try to not only just give a good show, but also give a good story. So,
and that's what the entertainment part comes in.
Right.
And so I think for people who've never seen one, they might be curious about you getting ready for and making the, you know, the character come to life. And I've heard, I think I saw a little clip in the Northfield News that it takes at least 2 hours. No,
that's more. On the low end.
That's the low end.
That's the low end. So just for my makeup alone is usually 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
It sounds like a process. It is a process. But it also takes that long because not only am I painting, but I'm also listening to music or watching a show, trying to get into that zone of, okay, we're not Craig today. We are Mrs. Moxie. Ah. And we need to really tap into that, you know, Lutheran Midwestern country housewife kind of mode.
So it's a form of like an actor might go through to if they're filming a movie and they decide that they're going to stay in character or they're going to, you know, take the trailer time to do whatever is their pattern.
Be real. Meryl Streep isn't really just jumping on the set and ready to go. She's method here.
Yes. And so it's just like any other actor or character would be putting it together. And I think one thing that's interesting maybe that about drag is we talked about this a little earlier, the idea that it's not just a character. It's not a role.
It's part of who I am.
Yeah. And that maybe is part of the confusion for people or the like, wait, what's going on here?
Correct. And I think, you know, once people see the show or meet me outside, you know, like as Craig, you know, like when people meet me as just me, they're like, oh, okay. Da-da. And then they find out that I do this. And then they're like, wait, what? You know, there's a question mark, but then they see it's just a continuing of who I am as a person, just put into a character.
And then with a lot of fancy things.
Right, exactly. A lot of glitter, a lot of sequins, yes, all that stuff.
Which is fun, right? I think that's fun for the audience, too, because that's, you know, you can see the care that goes into creating that character. And that's something, you know, we aren't doing it in our lives, but somehow it makes it more... people can hear you, maybe? Is that a good way to say it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head because, like, this is what I've said before because, you know, when I talk to my mom about this stuff or even my husband, you know, I always say no one's going to listen to this white Norwegian kid from the Midwest who grew up on a farm about his traumatic events. Like, they're like, oh, it's a dime a dozen. Well, yes, it's a dime a dozen, but it's also everybody has their own story to share. Everybody has a story. You have a story.
That's why I do this show, so everybody can share their stories.
Exactly. And I think no story should be untold. And when it came time to accepting myself and really trying to help others through hard times like I did, the things that I experienced, I then got into drag and I thought, why don't I use this as a tool to help tell a story? Because it's kind of like, you know, you look at Lady Gaga or you look at these extravagant singers and stuff like that. Yes, they're full of costumes. Yes, they're full of dramatic things. But behind it, they have these raw, tangible, relatable stories that we all can feel and connect with in some way. And I think if they can do it, why can't I?
And their power lies in being able to make that connection and then share that in a way that you can go, oh, you know, there might be somebody out there thinking, oh, I'm not alone.
Correct.
Oh, this is possible to succeed. This look at the, you know, joy that's possible for me. You know, all of those things make it just a really great way to spend an evening.
Yes, exactly. And I think kind of like what I said with the whole, you know, whether that's Lady Gaga or whatever, but, you know, there's that shock factor right away. And then it sucks you in with the heart and soul to the story. And that's what I try to do with my drag. And not saying every drag artist does that, but that's just me personally, because that's how I relate to people is, you know, to hear their heart and soul and to hear their story.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can do drag. It's sharing your love and your compassion and your story.
And that's another misconception, I think. Correct. You do mm-hmm. not have to be, you know, a man to do drag. You don't mm-hmm. have to be gay to do drag. Correct. You don't have to mm-hmm. be of any particular, just you just have to have a desire to
create
put on this show, right? And,
yep.
And that, I think, is another thing people don't always know.
No, they don't. And I think... you know, one thing that comes to my mind when I think of drag and like the limitless of it all is we have a television show out there that just cast, well, they just wrapped up, but they casted their first white straight male who is a drag queen on the show. And it's like, wait, you're a straight white guy doing drag? Like, you don't hear of that very often. But again, it's to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes passion, time, lots of money, and, you know, a dedication to the art form.
Mm-hmm.
That's the true core of it all, is having a desire and a passion to do an art form that kind of goes against, you know, the boundaries that have been set up before us in society.
Mm.
So, yeah, I ruffle feathers. Yeah, I kind of shake things up, but... in a way, it's to get you to think outside of that box.
And to, yeah, exactly. And so, folks, this is something that I'm really glad that you're getting the reception that you are in our community. And the thing I can't really connect with is how so many of us have had experiences with someone from the LGBTQ community or, you know, and... that people are making it hard for someone to just do what they love.
Right.
And so I guess I don't really know how to ask or what kind of question I'm going towards, but it feels that some of these things have been going on. There's been drag shows forever.
Yep.
They're a little more visible now.
Well,
and that's what's making people kind of... feel like it's okay to say things that they probably shouldn't.
I think I get what you're saying. Like, before the underground culture of drag or the queer community, I should say, it was so underground. And, you know, over the years, we're in 2022 right now, come on. You know, things are becoming to the surface, and now they're being recognized. I mean, Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if you saw this season. They actually had a drag queen in the finale this season.
I didn't see it.
Yes. So Dancing with the Stars just had a drag queen
mm-hmm.
in the finale. I mean, it is becoming such a pop culture, but yet such a current thing
mm-hmm.
where everyone is being represented. It's not just about your race or your background or anything. Now it's becoming about, you know, your art form, your sexual orientation. All these things are being represented. I mean, Hallmark's now making, you know, same-sex movies. Like, you know, things are finally changing to really include all areas.
Right. And that feels so much better than having to say, well, it's okay, but mm-hmm. we just don't want to... you know right. about it.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're there, but let's keep the door shut.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's time to include everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one of the biggest things that I've noticed is people used to say my partner. If you think about that, that was the term as like your partner in life. Like, oh, this is my partner.
Mm.
Now it's not that. It's, this is my husband or this is my wife. It is, you're actually using the correct terminology that should have been there from the beginning, but people were so alarmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the case. Like, all people are asking is to be treated the exact same way as anybody else. And that's where I see our future going farther. And especially working in a community like Northfield, I want to show that. Like, I am in a same-sex relationship, and I'm married to a man.
Mm-hmm.
But we still go to work. We still pay our taxes. We have to pay for gas. We have to pay our car insurance. You know, we're just like anybody else. It's just, we're a same-sex couple, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that is where we need to break down those barriers in small rural towns and in our world in general.
So let's talk about, I was just thinking how drag is an art form, but yet it's doing some of that work to mm-hmm. break down those things. And that's a really interesting place to think about that, mm-hmm. That it's through entertainment.
Correct.
And I often say that the arts are the way for us to, you know, hear stories that wouldn't be a part of our daily experience, to try to understand and also, you know, make those connections like, oh, that's an emotion everybody has. That's an experience that's familiar, or, you know, I can enter that world through a story, but I wouldn't live it.
Correct.
And so that's really a great point. I don't know that you know, drag queens took on like this our mission.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if everybody did, but I do have. So I work with a very core group of drag entertainers, and that includes, you know, women dressing up as men. So those are called drag kings.
Okay.
And we have a non-binary performer as well. So this performer goes between male and female, kind of bounces back and forth, and then you have us as the drag queens. We're such a family, and we're so close. And what our mission is to go into the Midwest here. I mean, we've gone into towns of 500 people and shook things up, let me tell you. But the thing is, when we do those things, people leave and they're like, oh, this is just entertainment. It's nothing to be afraid of.
Mm.
It's, and I think that's the key to all of it, is it's entertainment. And people in today's society want to be entertained. Like, think about streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
How many streaming services out there that we pay to be entertained by all these shows? Well, it's the same. Like, we're entertaining you to forget about your reality.
Yeah.
But also show you what reality is.
That's really cool.
You know, like, we're trying to show you we are here. We're here to be with you and exist with you. We may be different, but you need to learn, and we need to learn, because it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all need to respect. That is a key thing. Respect everybody's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And
right. And if you're uncomfortable or don't want to, you don't have to buy a ticket.
Correct. If you don't like the idea of drag, or if you don't want to go to it, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally okay. I am not offended. It's okay.
And what we all make those choices, right? In what we pick to be entertained by.
Right. Like, if someone asked me, do you want to go to the Vikings game with me on Sunday? No. I just could care less. I mean, I played football in high school and stuff, but it's just not something I would like to do. Now, if you ask me if I want to go to the Orpheum and go see a Broadway play, sign me up, I'll drive, you mm-hmm. know? And I think that's the key, is you get to choose what you want to do in life. And I think when it comes time to actually doing and seeing entertainment, it's your discretion on what kind you want to see. If you don't want to see it, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see it and learn, welcome. Come on in.
And let other people who want to go enjoy their night.
Correct.
Yeah, so we should preview what's going to happen, because I am a little curious about what kind of holiday advice Mrs. Moxie might bring to us.
Right, and you know, with the holiday show, it's not only me, it's actually my husband will be on stage. So Mr. Moxie is one of my guests on the shows, along with my dear, dear best friend, Lexi D. She is a local drag performer up in rural Minnesota. She is like phenomenal. She best friend. And there's going to be a lot of laughs. There might be some tears. But our lessons are, not only do you want to embrace your family and probably want to be around your family during the holidays, but also at the same time, if your family doesn't understand.
Oh, yeah, because it brings up so many hard things during the, you know, we're all going to grandma's house, and then there's that uncle and that, you know.
Correct. Exactly. They're that one uncle that doesn't understand, you know, or things like that. And you know, throughout the holiday special, we're telling the story of it's okay to go to see your family, but it's also okay to be with your chosen family. Mm,
that's a really something people are talking about
and a lot lately.
Allowing that to be a way of moving forward in the world.
Correct. I mean,
and in essence, we all do that anyway, because if we don't like the crazy uncle, we might not include him.
Correct. You know, and like to give an example, like my parents are divorced and my mom has always said, you know, come if you want. I'd love to see you, but I understand if you don't want to see this person. Or, you know, like my mom has been very supportive in that sense because she doesn't want anything to harm me.
Of course, she's your mom.
What mom doesn't do that, you know? But then there's my dad, who we have a rocky relationship. Let's just say that.
Okay.
But, you know, his thing is, well, it's family. Well, that's okay. That doesn't give him a pass because they're blood. You know, you can be blood and have beef or, you know, issues.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? There's a moment where you can make a decision and not put yourself into that. And that's kind of what the Christmas special is all about, is you get to choose to put yourself either in that situation or protect yourself from that situation. So that's kind of where the special is. It talks about what's right for you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, along with song and dance.
And probably some heels and sparkle.
Oh, yes, totally. And wigs galore.
And so I think maybe that's what is happening, right? Is that we're at this place in the world where, you know, Norman Rockwell kind of did a disservice maybe there's some Norman Rockwell fans. He had some interesting images. That was just the first thing that popped into my mind, that we thought that this is who we are as America, right? That this is the representation, but there's a lot that is not a part of that imagery and that idea. And that's okay too, but now we can, you know, move forward in a way that is broadening that idea. And those changes can be hard. But we you know, even as I said in the intro, I think as I get older, I realize everything changes every year. And there's never that, you know, it's not a repetition of this picture perfect moment at the holidays.
Well, and you know, even I don't know about you, but me and my husband, the other thing that we do as a couple is sometimes we call it divide and conquer.
Mm.
So divide and conquer means, you know, he'll go to his family this holiday and I go to mine.
Okay.
And we split up.
Mm.
And it's because we both want to spend time with our families rather than making, because I mean, his family, you know, is South Minnesota. Mine is North Minnesota. And it's like, to go from one to the next in the same day, it's impossible sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes you have to make those decisions to do what's right for you. So like yesterday, he was with his family and that was okay with me. It didn't bother me.
And I think that's an important thing too, because people might not have thought you could do that. But
right.
But I know growing up, we always had to pick, right?
Right.
Are we going? Whose grandma's house are we going to?
Yeah.
And some people get really upset about those ideas. I'm hoping we're in a place now where we can not be judgmental or upset about what people choose to do for their holiday celebrations.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing for me with the holidays is because I'm from a divorced family, there is a side to one part of my family, my dad's side, that I'm not super close with. And it just was a very different relationship that I had with him. And there's times where he'll be like, you need to go because you need to show respect. I haven't talked to them in 12 years. There is no respect to be given when they don't even know me.
Mm.
So again, it goes back to what fits best for you as a person and what the holidays mean to you. What I think that's the other thing is we as people get a picture perfect Hallmark card, I guess, for the holidays or when life, I guess you could say, but ideally you have to create that photo on your own.
That is powerful. right?
Yeah.
And that's something sometimes families don't let people do.
Correct.
And so for us to be able to say, yeah, that's okay. I love you. And I want you to be comfortable, happy, respected and celebrate the way you want to celebrate.
Yep. And that's kind of what I've learned over the years is like, that was his picture postcard, but my picture postcard of the holidays is this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the Christmas special as well, is to show this is what I want my holiday to look like. Not what you think it should look like. This is what I want it to look like.
Yeah, that's a really big gift, because a lot of people and some families don't let their loved ones think about it that way.
Right.
And so it sounds like a whole lot of fun.
It's fun. It sounds dramatic, like talking about it out loud, but it's...
But because I know of the way it's presented, right? It's not
right.
Someone standing up giving a lecture.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's classic songs like we have...
Right, that we forgot about the singing.
Right. Well, I shouldn't say singing because I am not a singer. We, in the drag art form, it's called lip syncing.
Mm-hmm.
So they play a track and we move our mouth and say sing the song with it. So it's called lip syncing. But like one of the main songs is Sisters from White Christmas.
Mm. You know? I don't think I know that song.
Okay. So White Christmas, the movie. There's a song called Sisters. Like, we're taking a classic song and we're putting two drag queens to this song. Like, it's kind of comical when you think about it. You're like, you're so used to these like stereotypical roles played on the stage and theater and in the movie. And now you have two drag queens portraying this on stage in a small town of Northfield.
So that's where, those unexpected things
Correct.
Give people permission to laugh and to, and they're in a setting where they're, they paid for a ticket to be entertained, and they can then go, wait, and they'll have that experience of laughing and then think, well, wait, why is that funny? Maybe it's okay.
It's totally okay. And I think the thing about, the music of it all is it ranges from very high pop anthems like Mariah Carey all the way down to these underground, like one of my favorite Christmas albums from my mom is the Rosie Christmas CD. I don't know if you know Rosie O'Donnell did a Christmas album. She did two, actually.
No. Yes. That is not the first name I would think of if you said a Christmas album.
Exactly. But Rosie O'Donnell did two Christmas albums, and there is so many funny, campy songs on that album.
Wow.
So it's like we're taking a wide range of Broadway mega pop star down to the underground of, Rosie O'Donnell singing a Christmas show tune, So again, it's a wide range and so full of life and fun and comedic with drag at its heart and core to make people forget about their daily struggles or whatever's happening in their life. And we want you to laugh and just be entertained.
Yeah, and that sounds like what everybody needs right now is
Correct.
A lot of that. And being able to be with other people, and enjoying a night. How do you think the audiences have changed from when you first started to now?
So when I first started, like I said, I started off in Halloween. Like Halloween was my holiday. I dressed up. It was fun. Now, actually, it was more so COVID, which propelled me into more shows.
Oh.
Irony. I was in lockdown, had nothing to do. And I was like, how do I be creative? How do I do this? So me and my husband, we actually started doing online trivia bingo. And we fundraised for those that couldn't afford things throughout COVID. Like, I lost my uncle to brain cancer. And we did a fundraiser one night where I was in drag and we hosted a bingo, or was it trivia or bingo? I can't remember, but trivia, I think it was.
Was this a Zoom thing?
It was a Zoom thing. And we raised almost $1,000 for his family to help them with groceries or, whatever they needed. And we did it for multiple people. We did it, we did it for a dog shelter. We did it for We had a friend who is a teacher on a reservation, and we raised money for her. So throughout COVID, that's how it started.
That's so fascinating. I mean, and because there was a desire in you to be creative, inventive.
But help others.
Yeah.
Like my mission has always been, how do I help others without taking away? Like, I shouldn't even say taking away. How do I help others to lift them up, I should say? You know, not take away their burden, but like, how do I raise them up and make it easier in their world? So that's what started with COVID. And then from there, before COVID, I was performing in dive bars and with this group that I was talking about. And now after COVID, we continue now even more so to go into small rural towns. Mm-hmm. We were just in New London, Minnesota.
Is that out west?
It's kind of by Wilmer, Spicer area. Yeah,
That is, it's funny you should say that's where my whole family is originates.
And yep.
I would imagine that's a challenging place.
It was
place.
A very challenging place. We had protesters out in the streets.
And
so, yeah.
When my parents were growing up there, they did not allow dancing.
And really?
It was a dry place. So there's...
Where's Kevin Bacon? I mean, come on.
It really was Footloose.
It was like Footloose. That sounds like Footloose to me. But we did that, and we had protesters in the street. Luckily, it was more so praying the gay away and more alarm for the children because we did an all-age show. But again, how do you judge people, or how do you make assumptions about something without ever going to one? That's the part that I don't understand.
Right. Curiosity is such a great thing
right.
that we possess, and it's a powerful tool that
it is.
People don't often engage with it. I'm not sure why it's not
right.
It's just an okay thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's the mission for me, is to continue to push that envelope and really help the next generation that are struggling to find themselves. Because I've seen it in this community. I have seen these kids struggle. I mean, there is one that I think of immediately when I think of, and I don't want to reveal or anything like that, but like, there's one that sticks out to me. And it every time I think about, why do I do this? I think of that one that sat in that audience in June. And I was like, that's why I do it. To have that one kid come up to me and say, I was at your show last night. And I was like, oh, did you like it? And he goes, I loved it. Thank you. And he kept thanking me. And to hear that makes my craft and my job, because I consider this a job, worthwhile, because it's showing and it's shedding the light to show everybody is the same. It's just, you know, there's different avenues that we all take. Cowboys wear chaps. I mean, you know, nurses wear their stethoscope. You know, like, we all have drag in some form in our daily day to life. But ultimately, I'm doing it to show a heart and soul storyline that everybody can relate to, and to give strength and movement to propel us all to be more equal.
And that is why your shows are so successful. You have a lot of big fans out here, a big crowd of people who love going to your shows. And so I'm thrilled that we got a chance to
yes,
be able to
thank you for having
share
me.
Your
yes.
story. I love what you said about the next generation, because I think that is where the key is. And I see it in my kids that they are accepting, appreciative, understanding. Like, there aren't the same sort of it's a part of their world.
It's not that mold that you thought they were going to be in. Like, they're breaking the mold,
right?
Like, and I think that's the key takeaway on all of it, is the next generation, we need to crack that mold, and we need to let them form their own mold, because every human is allowed to be who they want to be.
Wow.
This is heavy for a Friday morning.
Well, it's important, and I'm just so thrilled, folks. This is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, and we have had such a great time talking with Craig Moxness, talking about the fabulous show happening at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater, Mrs. Moxie's Home for the Holidays. I think tickets are going to sell out. That's why...
I'm hoping.
So we need people to get your tickets if you're interested ahead of time, Friday the 2nd of December or Saturday the 3rd at this is 2022, at 7:30. Doors open at 7, and all tickets are $15.
Correct. We'll see you there.
Yeah, I hope so. It's been a thrill. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I hope that you always remember to add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. 7372.